Yeah, well, just so those of you who don't know me, just to give you some background, I worked with youth for about 8 years now. I love working with youth, teenagers, young adolescents. I love working with teenagers because you guys really are the future. All right. I worked with BCEC. Anybody know BCEC, Boston Chinese Evangelical Church in Chinatown? I was with them for about 4 years, their youth group. And then I was a youth pastor in a Chinese church in Rhode Island for 4 years. And I am back at school now, and I'm actually finishing a second degree, a second master's from Boston College. And so right now I'm technically a social worker, all right? And I work in a hospital, all right? But before that, I worked in a high school. All right, who's in high school? Anybody in high school? Oh, cool. All right. So I was a social worker in high school, and working with youth there. Uh-oh. If that's not Jesus, you better not answer it. Right. I've always wanted to use that line. You're cool. Well, you're hot because you're in fire. But anyways, So working with teenagers for this many years, and now I work in a hospital, and I work with adults who have... Oh, dude.
All right. For anyone of you have a cell phone, turn it to vibration or turn it off. Then except me, and then I'm on call. So.
All right. So as I was saying, no, you're cool. Don't worry about me. Working with teenagers this many years, and now working with adults. The job that I do as a social worker. When you see me, that means something bad happened, okay? I'm the person that you don't want to see. You don't want to get sent to, all right? Because that means when you see me, when people get sent to me as a social worker in school or in hospital, that means that they came to a point in their life where they really, really messed up, all right? Not all social workers are bad, okay? But I'm the bad kind, okay? The people only come to me, teenagers or adults get sent to me only when they came to a point in their life when something really bad happened and they can't get out of it. All right, maybe they have, maybe they're going through a really, really sad time and they get something called depressed. All right, or maybe they have a mental illness, right, where they have trouble thinking straight. Okay, so that's the kind of work I do, and when I'm working with adults now, with these who are in these situations, when I'm talking about their past, their childhood, when they were teenagers, you see all the trouble spots that could have been prevented, but they weren't. And what happened years later when they become adults is that they're in this place, this hard place in life where they can't get hold of. And it started when they were in teenagers. Right? Now, really, one of the causes of all these problems, a lot of these problems that adults faces, is that there were problems when they were teenagers, and they never got sorted out. Teenagers, all right, one social scientist or psychologist said the purpose, the task, the developmental task of teenagers for you guys is to form an identity. That is the task for you guys, all right, developmentally, psychologically, that is to form an identity. And if you don't form an identity, then you will be lost. All right, and into adulthood, you'll just have a really troubled adulthood. All right, and one of the major things of forming an identity is to form a connection with people. And if people don't feel that they're connected, then they will feel lost. And then all these problems happen, such as depression or even further mental illness. And then when you're an adult, you see people like me. All right, which is a bad thing. This is okay. This is church, all right? So I'm different now, okay? But if you saw me in the hospital, right, that means something bad happened, all right? Teenagers have this desire and you're really built to connect with other people. And if you fail to do so, then that's when hard things really, really come by. You can't get out of it. Teenagers really want to connect, all right? And I want that as the main thing. Now, the thing is, church, all right? Or God, when we're thinking about God, sometimes it's hard for us to connect with God. All right, we connect with our friends, okay, you know, especially through Skype or GChat or any of these weird logging things out there. But when we think about God, like, can we connect with God? And the reason why connecting with God is so important to me, and I truly believe it's important to you, is because friends unfortunately come and go. All right, even parents, one day you will leave them, or they will leave you eventually. All right, a few years you'll be out of school. Things come and go. The one constant person that could ever be in your life is God. And I believe that it's critical, especially as teenagers, to connect with the infinite and permanent being of God, Jesus Christ. In my experience with youth, it's actually kind of tough. Right? It's tough to connect with God. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, like, how do we, as teenagers, connect with God, because we're all built to connect. That's the developmental task that all of you have, is to connect with God. But how in the world do we do that? And that's what I'm talking about. All right. Now, one of the problems that we have, all right, as teenagers, one of the problems that we have is that when something is so big, like God, you have no clue how to connect with that, right? Like, how do you approach something or somebody like God? Like, how in the world do you come near a person like that? So huge. It's sort of like a time when I remember once I'm in this marching band, okay? And I'm the drum instructor of this marching band. And once we did this performance in a school, okay? Anybody in marching band by any chance? Or any kind of band? Really? Yeah? What instrument do you play?
Saxophone.
Saxophone, cool. Clarinet. Oh, cool. Awesome. All right. And I don't know if you're in your schools, if you have a marching band, but do you? You guys? No? Well, I'm a drum instructor in a marching band. It's a community marching band. And once we did this gig in the school, in elementary school, okay? Nobody's in elementary school, right? Or no? This is all middle school and high school?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think two of them maybe is
on
the fifth grade.
Oh, cool. Okay, cool. Well, then my band played at a school like yours, right? In an elementary school. All right, so it was during lunchtime, so all the students were gathered in the cafeteria, they're eating, and then by surprise, my band walks in, all right? We're playing, and it's just really loud, and everybody's like is surprised and shocked, but they all love it, all right? So we're marching around the cafeteria, we're marching through them down the aisle, and all the boys are there, they're getting up, they're like, yeah! And especially like they're loving me because I'm the drummer and everybody loves the drummer, right? So all the boys are just like piling on top of each other. Yeah, drummers rock! It's the funniest thing seeing like little fourth graders. Yeah, drummers! It's crazy, right? So they're totally loving this, all right? And they all, and afterwards, right? We went up to the stage where we're playing our thing, and then afterwards, when we're done, right? The teachers, right? They say, all right, everybody, now time to go back to class, right? The bell's ringing and it's time to go back to like fifth period, right? And so all the boys, they ran up to me, right? They're all crowding, right? As if like I'm Jesus, right? They're all crowding around me and they're like, oh, you're awesome! And oh, Henry, could I have your autograph? And seriously, right? People were asking for my autograph, right? I was that important. Alright, so like there was a group, I'm not kidding, of like 30 boys, alright? It just kind of mosh pitting, trying to get like just to breathe the same air that I'm breathing out, okay? So they're all going crazy, and finally the teachers were like, all right, boys, all right, you have to go to fifth period now, right? You have to leave Henry, okay? He'll still be here. You can come back after school. And but out of this craziness, there was this one little girl, like sort of in the middle, in the back,
And she's really quiet. You can tell she's really shy, and she's just kind of looking, kind of getting bumped by all the boys around her, and she's just standing there patiently waiting to meet me. And all the teachers were, you know, kicking everybody out. And then as everybody was leaving, she just kind of got disheartened, and she started to turn around. She was about to go to fifth period, and I felt bad for her. And I was like, hey there. And she turns around. She's like, awkward silence. And I said, do you want my autograph? She's like, yeah. All right. And I was like, you can ask me, all right? I would love to give you my autograph. And I took the piece of paper she was holding, signed my name. I was like, you know, here you go. And awkward silence. I just said, have a good rest of the day of school, okay? But I was happy to meet you. And she's like, okay. And then walked to class. So at that moment, right, she was before the drummer, right? And like, how do you react? How does she react? She was absolutely dumbstruck, right? She was absolutely, she's not dumb, but she was dumbstruck, right? She was absolutely perplexed, and she did not know how to react because she was before the drummer. How in the world? She's about to die. Somebody get the paramedics. How in the world do teenagers or anybody meet God? Right? God is so big. How in the world do we approach, do we connect with God? Yeah, God. You know how? He's so big. It's and one of the reasons why it's so difficult for us to connect with God, you know, or somebody just really big, is because as teenagers, a lot of you have this tendency of admiring people from afar. A lot of you have this tendency of loving people from afar, really admiring them from afar. And what I mean by this is that you could go crazy, go gaga goo over somebody, but really far away. Like you would admire somebody, but you wouldn't go up and talk to that person, right? Some of you might know what I'm talking about, right? That, hence the whole like online chatting generation, all right? We could sometimes I read these blogs, these Zangas or MySpaces or these other blogs, and wow, teenagers have incredible insight, and they'll share tons of things online to the whole world, but when you're talking to them just one-on-one, they won't say a word. Maybe they just sit awkwardly or die laughing, but they won't say a word. In front of the whole world, they'll spew out their most intimate, deepest, darkest secrets. We have a tendency of being kind of removed from people. We admire, as teenagers, we admire people from afar. All right, it's sort of like I remember this time I went to Disneyland in California. Anybody ever went to Disneyland or Disney World? No. Oh, really?
They did. It's
oh.
Right,
oh, okay, okay. Well, was it a long time ago or? No? Recently. Oh, okay. All right. So you might know what I'm talking about. So I was in Disneyland in California, Los Angeles. And I went there. I was all pumped, and I was like, "I'm gonna find Mickey Mouse." All right, because as a kid, I always loved Mickey Mouse. All right, because he was just like this handsome mouse. All right, well dressed, and yeah, he was a fun character. So I was the entire day. I was all pumped, and I was like, "I'm gonna find Mickey," and I had all these thoughts in my head. And when I find him, I'm gonna give him a high five, even give him a chest bump, and I'm gonna kind of just give him a headlock. We'll wrestle. I'll give him a noogie. Yeah, because Mickey and I were gonna be best buds, and yeah, just the entire day I was looking for him, right? And it's a big park, and there's only one Mickey, right? Yeah, there's only one Mickey. So I was looking for him, and I was so psyched to find him. And the entire day, I was there for about 12 hours. Yeah, I was there for a long time, and I couldn't find Mickey. So finally, me and my friends, we decided to go because it's getting late. So we were leaving, and then we get to the park gate, and there it's Mickey. And it's like as if like the clouds opened up and like she, and, like sun was shining down. It's like, oh, Mickey. And there was like a line of like 15 kids lined up to take pictures with him. And I'm like, and my friends were like, Henry, here's your chance. You know, why don't you line up and you know, have a chance to wrestle with Mickey, give him a noogie and stuff like that. And then I froze. I was like, oh my gosh, it's Mickey. What do I do? You know, and they're like, Henry, just get in line. It's only 15 kids. It's not going to take that long to take a picture with them. I'm like, I hesitated. I struggled. And then I just decided, okay, just take a picture with me, with Mickey in the background. And they're like, Henry, you loser. Just get in line. I'm like, I can't do it. When the entire day, for 12 hours, I looked for Mickey Mouse. Then I finally found him, and I didn't know what to do. And the only thing I could do was just have my friends take a picture of me with Mickey far in the background, so I could say I was with Mickey. As teenagers, we have this tendency to admire people from afar, and because we have this distance, we actually forget how to connect with people. We forget how to connect with God. I call it I call this the screaming Asian fan in a concert syndrome. All right, I don't know if anybody ever watch concerts. And anybody into J-rock by any chance? No, Japanese rock. My sister is totally in Japanese rock, and she has all these videos of Japanese concerts. You see all these girls in the front row on the stage. They have their arms like on the stage, and they're totally like drooling over the fans. Like, oh my gosh, it's the band, the singer. Oh, is it getting hot in here, or is it just me? No, it's not me. It's him. Yeah, and the girls will go completely crazy over these J-rock bands. All right, but the thing is, like, there's distance, and so they're going completely crazy over them. But as soon as they go meet them in person, they're like, but my name is, my name is, when you're before the actual person, you don't know what to do, but then when you're afar, you just kind of just go crazy over them, and these girls will go crazy over these singers, even though, and so they're going crazy, they're hyperventilating, and I'm thinking, whoa, he probably doesn't even see you there, he probably doesn't even know you. He probably will never know you. He probably will never want to know you. But she's like hyperventilating. They're hyperventilating, overseeing this band. As teenagers, we do this thing. We admire people from afar. And we forget how to connect with people. God is so big. How do we approach him? You know, girls at screaming Asian girls at a concert, they will never be known by the person. They will never be seen by the person. The singer probably would never want to know her. But she's like going crazy over him. God, on the other hand, knows you. God not only see that you're there, but he knows you and he wants to pursue you. Check this out, right? If you still have your Bibles open, in Psalm 139, check it out. I love this. I love this. I absolutely love this. In Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is even formed on my tongue, you know it completely. All right, stop there. This is basically, all right, this is an ancient Jewish poetical way of saying, God saying, I know when you wake up and when you sleep. When you go out and when you come back.
I know, and I know everything in between. This is an ancient Jewish poetical way of saying, of God saying, I know everything about you. I know how you think. I know how you feel. I know what makes you angry and what makes you sad. I know how you work and how you feel. Very different from the J-Rock band on the stage and the girl hyperventilating. This is a very different story. This is a very different picture. In this picture, God, huge person, infinite, creator of the cosmos, knows everything about you. But not only he knows everything about you, he wants to pursue you. He knows exactly how you feel, and he knows that as teenagers, you want to form an identity and you want to connect. Nobody ever wants to feel alone. And one of the reasons why, right, I want to show you that God understands you, right, the fact that, this microphone's getting in the way. I want to show you how, right, God understands you, and one of the ways that I see that is the fact that the book of Psalms was originally written, right, as poetry, and also as songs. All right, the whole book of Psalms, I don't know if you knew this, but it's originally poetry. It's originally sung. And why did God give us his word in music? It's because he knows that music connects with teenagers. I don't know one teenager that doesn't like music. I don't know one teenager that's not moved by music. And this was the case for me, right? If you guys don't know, when I was in college, I was a music major because I love music. Music moves me. And I love being moved by music. Right? Music has a way of helping me express how I feel that is better than how my words can express it. And I remember when I was in middle school, late middle school, I love this song. It's a really old song, all right? Some of you might make fun of me for liking it, but it's a song called "The Rose" by Bette Midler. Okay, kind of a girly song, but I really loved it in secret. I didn't tell any of my guy friends, but I love this song, all right? Because just how it made me feel, all right? And I want you to just kind of listen to it, all right? This song puts me in the mood, so check it out. Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leads your soul to bleed. Some say love, it is a hunger, an endless ache in me. I say love, it is a flower, and you, it's only out. So anyway, when I was a kid, right, I would just, whenever I hear this on the radio, I would sit back and I'd be like, oh, yeah, someday I'll find love. And I was like this, like, middle school person, someday I'll find love, somebody's going to love me. And I always feel so lonely, and this song would help me express that. So anyways, I love this next verse, all right? This next verse is really a heart wrencher, all right? So here we go. When the night has been too lonely, and the road has been too long, and you find that love is only for the lucky and the strong. And
at this point, I'm thinking like, yeah, how come love is only for lucky people? Why aren't I lucky? Why aren't I strong? But anyways, so carrying on, the song reminds me, it comforts me at this point. Just remember in the winter, far beneath the bitter snow. What? Remember what? Lies the sea, and with the sun's love in the spring becomes.
This is the best part.
The rose.
Yeah! The rose! Oh man, I love that song when I was a middle school kid. Because it communicates how I felt and helped me connect with who I am and what I'm feeling. God connects in the same way. God knows how you feel, and that's why He gave us the Psalms in music. Because He knows as teenagers, we connect to music. God knows how to connect with you. He knows you. As music, you guys, with music, you guys are moved, absolutely moved by music, alright? I was doing this YouTube search of this song, alright, that teenagers are absolutely crazy about right now, alright? And I think you will know this song. I think everybody will know this song. I did this YouTube search on this song. There was 78 million hits. 78 million. How? I didn't even know there were 78 million people using the internet. Anyways, I think you know this song. I think this is a testimony of how music connects with teenagers. All right, I think you know the song. It's not there because I'm sure you know the lyrics. I can almost see it, the dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my heart saying, you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make, lost with no direction. My faith is shaking, but I gotta keep trying. I gotta keep my held high. Whoops. Alright, and this is a really emotional part. Here we go. There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes you gotta have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. Here we go. It's the climb. Right, 78 million teenagers logged on and listened to that song from start to beginning. Music moves us beyond anything that can move us. God knows how you are moved. And that's why the Psalms are in music format, are in poetry. God knows you intimately. And that's what I want you to learn today. I want you to see that God knows you. You don't have to. I want to show you throughout the Psalms. God, there are these hints showing that God really knows what you're going through, what you're feeling. All right, don't need to turn to it, but Psalm 91:15 says, all right, He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Right? And what that psalm is saying is that God understands that we want to trust in something. We want to believe in something. As teenagers, we want to believe in something. Check this out in Psalm 13:1. The psalmist writes, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? And that psalm is showing that as teenagers, we get angry sometimes. The psalmist is really angry here. The psalmist says, God, how long are you going to forget me? As teenagers, we get angry, and God knows this. Check this out. Psalm 10, verse 1. The psalmist writes, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? God understands that as teenagers, sometimes we feel distant from God. He understands this. Lastly, Psalm 98:1. Listen to this. Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. What the psalm is showing that God understands as teenagers, He understands our happiness as well. God knows you. And He understands exactly how you feel, exactly how you think, what makes you happy, what makes you sad, what gives you trouble. God knows you. So how should we respond? How should we respond? I want you to check this out in verse 5 and 6 in Psalm 139. The psalmist writes, check this out, all right? How should we respond to God knowing you? All right, verse 5 and 6. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too wonderful for me. Too lofty for me to attain. So what the psalmist is trying to say is that the fact that God, a huge infinite being, knows me, that absolutely blows me away. This word hem in the Hebrew, right? It means to completely surround me. Like there's no way escaping this. God completes me, completely surrounds me. He knows me completely. There's nothing that is hidden from Him. All right. How should we approach this? I want to challenge you guys. I want to encourage you as teenagers. Understand that God knows exactly how you feel, exactly what you think. God knows you, and we should approach Him completely exposed. All right. So there's this pastor that said he challenged us to pray. Pray before God nakedly. Not literally, okay? But he says, go to God with naked prayers. Right? And what he means by that is that you go to God and just don't hold anything back. Because God knows exactly how you're feeling. And it could be waking up in the morning saying, God, this is going to be a really tough day. I really need you on this one. Or, God, I just got totally heartbroken by this person. I need you to help me out here. Naked prayers. All right? It means, you know, God, this person is seriously driving me up the wall. Can you send a lightning bolt to him or something like that? Or just, could you help me? I challenge you, go to God completely exposed, completely naked. Now, I don't expect you to go home and like throw off all your clothes and your mom's going, what are you doing? Well, the pastor said that I need to be naked when I go to God. No, it doesn't mean that. But what I'm saying is going to God just completely exposed, holding nothing back. Church is phenomenal, right? Because church is supposed to be this environment where we're supposed to be open. But church is kind of the most closed time that we have during the week. We are so closed. And that's, I would like to see you guys more open, but that's fine, all right? But one thing I want to see you do more is be open with God. Just holding nothing back. Just 2-minute prayers a day makes a difference. I want to challenge you. Go to God completely bare naked and pray these naked prayers, holding nothing back, because God knows you. Exactly how you feel. Exactly why you feel that way. And I want to end with a song. It's called He Knows My Name. And it's just a reflection of God's relationship to us. Right? So you could, if you know, you can sing along, but if not, just follow along with the lyrics. As we close, when you go home and every single day when you wake up, go to God. Just 2 minutes a day can really make a difference. And just hold nothing back. Be absolutely exposed to Him. Because He knows exactly how you feel, what you feel. He knows what you're going through. And He knows how you work. He knows how your emotions work. God knows you. All right, let's pray.